You take out your sermon notes so you can follow along this morning. The good news is it only goes up to number 5. You'll see why in a minute. How much is something worth? What about this? How much would you pay for that? Anyone seen that? We were in France, we've seen it. Must be a lot of people have seen that. Yeah. Did you get a surprise, the size of it? I couldn't believe it. Can I only see it? Where am I? Any idea? Anyone want to put a price on it? Anyone pay $1 million? Yeah? Maybe. Let's have a wee look. How much? Valued $830 million. That's insurance value because that is priceless and it will never be sold. What about the next one? A vase of flowers. How much would you pay for a children's vase of flowers? Any idea on Van Gogh's painting there? Oh, get away with you. It's not better than that beautiful lady there. Let's see how much. Oh, only 69. Only 69 million. It was sold in 1987 for 25 million, and they think inflation would take it pretty near 70 million these days. Now, for all you car lovers, anyone tell me what car this is? Ooh. Very nice, isn't it? Anyone got any guesses? It's a Rolls Royce, you're right. It's a Rolls. I didn't think it was a Rolls, but it is a Rolls, believe it or not. That's a Rolls Royce Sweptail. Much do you think you'll have to pay for that? The insurance is quite high, because look at the cost. The cost is... 13 million. For a car, I know. And I can see all you women shaking your heads, so let's have a wee look at diamonds. Would you like a diamond? Frances isn't here this morning, she's through with the children, so I'd love to buy that diamond. Yeah, love to buy that diamond. That's a Cullinan diamond, the largest mine diamond in the world. It's actually part of the crown jewels. Any idea how much? If you could sort of take it from the crown jewels and sell it, how much would you offer for that? £13, okay. Let's see if it's any more than 30. Oh, £400 million for a diamond. Now, how much something is worth really depends on how much someone's prepared to pay for it. And that's what worth is all about. You might say that's what you could get for it, but if someone's not going to pay for that, it's not worth anything. So I wonder, how much are you worth? How much are you worth? Filling number one this morning is when you pray, look back to the cross. We're going to look at directions we should be looking at to prompt us in prayer. Pay back to the cross. Because this answers the question of how much you're worth. How much you're worth depends on how much someone is willing to pay. And how much was someone willing to pay for you? God was willing to let his son die for you. That's how much you're worth to him. And we've got to see that right at the beginning when we pray. There is no greater sign of how much God loves us than when we look back to the cross. We've got to see at our start of prayer, we're looking at different things about prayer this morning, that you're a Mona Lisa to God. Or if you guys prefer it, you're a Rolls Royce. That's how God sees you, and you've got to get that in. How much am I worth? I am worth so much. You are worth so much that Jesus died for you. And this morning, God wants to see us, for us to see him primarily as a loving Heavenly Father. That's why I spoke about Abba Father. And the thing is, I don't know how anyone find that quite easy to do this morning? You know, Dad in heaven. Anyone admit it was quite uncomfortable? Yeah, it is. You know, you think, oh no. Oh, I've tried that before. I remember doing that years ago. And I remember how uncomfortable it was. I'm fine saying our Father in heaven. But Dad, it seems... strange. seems close. But that's the word or the term that God the Father is looking for us to use when we address him more than any other, because that's the word that Jesus brought to us. God wants to see us as that loving Father, Dad in heaven. Now, I know some folk have trouble with this because you think back to your natural father, and maybe your natural father, you either didn't know, or your natural father wasn't that good. But if that's your situation, what I want you to see this morning is that your God isn't your natural father, and your natural father isn't your God, because God is the perfect Father. And that's what he's trying to say to us this morning. Because the way we see God determines how we pray or not to God. And it's as fundamental as that. If we see God as an ogre or someone far away or someone who's checking up on us, we will not pray to that kind of God. And God is saying this morning, what I want you to do is to see me as a loving Abba Father that I am. And once you see that, and once you see what Jesus has done for you, then prayer is so much easier, because you're praying to a loving Father. We read, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We don't come to God in fear. We don't come to God thinking we're slaves. We come to him through Jesus as sons and daughters. That's what you've got to see. We're children of God. And that's a hard thing to believe, that we are brothers and sisters of Jesus. Can you accept that? That's a wee bit far. But it's true. We're brothers and sisters of Jesus. We're children of God. And God wants to see us in that family relationship. So prayer is just like children talking to their dad. My children had no problem talking to me. I mean, Peter, we had trouble stopping him. We still have trouble stopping him. He just goes on and on and on. But Jesus says, that's the way I want you to talk to your father. Just talk to him as you would an earthly father. Fill in number 2A. Here's the catch this morning. When you pray, make your prayers personal. You're praying to a loving Heavenly Father, so let's make your prayers personal. Abba prayers are personal prayers, prayers of a child to the loving Father. And the more personal we can make our prayers, then the more personal our relationship with God comes. Now, some folk find that quite hard. It's fine to keep God at a distance. Keep him up there. God, the Father of creation. God, the big G. God, away out there. But he says, that's really not how it is. God, the loving Father, wants to share your concerns. God, the loving Father, wants to share your fears, your challenges. From last week, your pain. And God says, bring them to me as you bring them to a normal father. Because Abba prayers are the prayers that children pray to their dad. 2B says, so when you pray, make your prayers passionate. Now, you ever link those two words together, passion and prayer? Just got to read the Psalms. Just going to read the Psalms. The folk get so het up with God in the Psalms. Jesus got het up with God at times. And God is saying, I don't mind your passion. Because it says, and we cry, Abba Father. It's a cry to God. And the question is, when was the last time you got emotional with God? Seriously. When you let God know your frustrations, when you let God know your anger, when you let God know your sorrow, that doesn't faze God. In fact, God says, I want to know about that. Because when you start to get real with me, God says, I can get more real with you. In fact, that's how the Holy Spirit prays for us. which is 2C. When you pray, recognize that the Spirit prays with you. Now, I think this morning we're getting into the realms of, well, I'm trying to think of that program. What was it? Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. What was the woman? Nice-looking woman in it. What was her name? The X-Files, yes, the X-Files. Remember the X-Files? You know, it got a wee bit spooky sometimes. We're sort of descending into X-Files because we've now got the Spirit praying for us. And the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I mean, does that mean anything to you? Our Abba Father knows that often we don't even know what to pray. Now, God doesn't mind that. I don't know what you do when you feel you can't pray. And normally it's when we're under tremendous stress or something has happened to us or members of our family. And we say, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even have the words. I've met so many people who have gone through great trauma, and it's only afterwards they say, I just couldn't pray. They won't tell anyone that till afterwards. I just couldn't find the words. God seemed just not there. I couldn't find the words. But God knows that, and we see that when that happens, the Holy Spirit actually prays for us. Now, this bit's a wee bit weird. I don't mind admitting this is weird, because it sounds weird. When we are talking to God, God is talking to himself about you. Get that? When we are talking to God, God the Holy Spirit is talking to God the Father. One God, three persons, God is talking to God. Well, you're talking to God or not. It just sounds a wee bit weird. God is talking to God about you. And in many ways, that should be a reassurance, because when we can't find the words, we know that the Holy Spirit of God is praying for us. And the Holy Spirit of God gets passionate about us. And when we're at a loss even to pray, the Spirit is passionately praying for you. It says the Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. God the Spirit can't even get the words out. And I think it's because God the Spirit is so passionate about what's going on in his family. So when we cannot find the words even to pray, we've got to remember that the Spirit himself is praying for us. So we look backward to the cross, we look upwards into the face of Abba Father. And fill in number 3 says, when you pray, look inward to Jesus living inside of you. And this is another, you know, we're doing all the weird this morning, let's get it all out the way. Jesus is inside each of us who believe. And a lot of folk find that hard to believe. You know, Christ in you, the hope and glory. Yes. When you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence in us. Now, if you don't think that's weird, there's something weird about you. You know, try telling that to your neighbor. I mean, not your neighbor here. I mean, your neighbor next door. When you sort of see them going along the path and they say, miraculously, so what did you find out at church today? I'll tell you what I found out in church today. Jesus is living in me. They'll phone for the white van. But this is what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence within us. So we have Christ in us. And you might say, well, so what about that? The great thing about that, and this is where we've really got to get this bit, this gives us the way to face how we really are. And that's why 3A says the Spirit allows us to face what we are really like inside. And this is us getting to the hard bit this morning. The Spirit allows us to face what we are really like. It says in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to see whether you are in faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Here's a question for you. Anybody here? I think there'll be one or two. Anybody here want to be better than they are? You know, I'm putting two hands up because Francis wants me to be better than I am. Yeah, most of us want to be better than we are. But before we can get better, we've got to admit what we're really like inside. And 3B is a classic. I found this one. Before I get better, I must deal with what is bitter. I like that. Before I get better, I've got to deal with what is inside. And some of us are just not willing to do that. Jesus says the truth will set you free, but often before it does, it makes you miserable. Because the truth that we like the least is often the truth about ourselves. And we don't want to go there. Now the problem is if we have Jesus living in us, then he's already seen the junk. You know, it's no surprise to God to realize what we're like inside, because he's in there. That's why we cover the weird stuff. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in there. Don't know what that means. And he's having a wee look around inside to see what we're really like. And because Jesus knows through his Spirit what we're like inside, then the Holy Spirit of God gives us a chance to do a wee bit of housekeeping inside. And that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 28 says, those who conceal their sin do not prosper, but those who confess and renounce it will find mercy. God already knows the areas that all of us have got to work on. And when we are honest with God, then we rise to a different level of intimacy with God. And I think that's what most of us would really like. We would never say it. Presbyterians do not get intimate with God. The Bible says we should. Why? Because 3C says we become more intimate with God when we invite God into what we think about ourselves. That's the hard bit. The step for some of us is saying we've got to invite God in. We know you're in there, God. I give you permission to have a wee look around. Have a wee look around, and if you've got to clean up the stuff, you know what you've got to clean up, then you have permission to do that. I will let you clean me up from the inside out. And this is where intimacy comes from. Sharing our hopes with God, that's one level of intimacy. Sharing our fears, that's a different level. That's deeper. Sharing what we think about ourselves is even deeper than that. And we're getting deeper and deeper and deeper with God. And the bottom one of God is sharing what we don't like about ourselves is even deeper still. And if we can take the risk of going down that ladder of getting deeper with God in intimacy, then it will transform the people we are. And I read about this last week. You'll never guess it's American. And it talks of being intimate with God. And intimacy with God is when we spell 3D intimacy as into see me. Now, my weird brain likes that. Intimacy, into me see. That's what it means. If we let God into me see, then we become more intimate with God. We say to God, you know what I'm like, but I want more intimacy. I want to allow you to into me see and begin to change me. And most of us, if we're honest, will not take that risk. Because that's a huge, big risk, to allow God the Father in there through the Spirit to into me see. And the question I'm asking this morning is, are you willing to do that? It's a big price. I know it is. Are we willing to say to God the Spirit, I am happy for you to into me see and see what I'm really like? Because only you can start to clean me up. And our big fear about that, I think, is that God is going to judge. I think that's our bottom line. We keep God at a distance. We think God's not going to know. He sees us on Sunday, all the smiling faces, well, half of them. And then he says, yeah, aren't they good? Let you know, your secret, you can't fool me. Never mind, you can't fool God. It doesn't work. And when we get to that level of saying, into me see, then the deepening of intimacy comes with God. And when we do that, we're really saying to God, God, shine your light and pour your grace and pour your healing into my hidden places. Because we've all got hidden places that we think we can hide from one another and hide especially from God's. You know. And that last psalm we sang really was, there is nowhere we can hide from God. There's nowhere we can go where God is not. There's nowhere that God cannot see. And we play games. And we don't have enough time to play games with God. Because he's eternal and we are not. And he says, let me in so I can see. Fill in number four, when you pray, look around and ask the Holy Spirit to use you. It's not enough for us to be cleaned from the inside out by the Spirit of God. We've got to say to the Spirit of God, really in practical terms, I'm looking around now, where do you want me to be used? It says in Romans 6, offer every part of yourself to God as an instrument of righteousness. We allow God to come in and into me see, but that's not the place we end. We then say, okay, God, where do you want to use me? What do you want to do with me and through me? And the simple thing is, we just say to the Spirit of God, where do you want to use me today? Where do you want to use me this week? Show me what you want me to do for God in the week ahead. Now, it's normally not the big things that impress God. You know, we always want a big thing to impress God with. Then he'll be really impressed. God's not impressed with the big things. I think what God is impressed for most of us is those little steps of obedience that the Holy Spirit brings to our minds and we take them. And that's what the Holy Spirit will be doing to some of you this morning. The Holy Spirit will be saying, you know what your next step is. You know what you want God to do in you. Just take it. Take that little step. And I think that's what God's saying to some of us. For some of us here, God is waiting for us just to take that next step of faith, which will be our contribution. Don't know what it is. But God says, this is your time. You take that step. Scary though it may be, take that step of faith. So we look backward to the cross. We look upward in the face of a loving Father. We look inward to Jesus who lives inside of us. We look around and ask the Holy Spirit to use us. And finally, fill in number five, when you pray, look forward to your future in faith. And that's not a hard thing in prayer. All we've got to do is, Father, help me with my busy day. You know what I've got lined up for next week? It's crazy. You help me with it. Help me prioritize. You know the folk I'm going to come in contact with? Give me a tough skin and a soft heart. Some of us are going to need that. But help all of us negotiate the changes that are coming in the Church of Scotland. I'm going to these prayer things Monday and Thursday. Man, scaring the life out of some of us. Scaring the life out of me. God, you take us. Take us through whatever we've got to do. Tell us what we've got to do. Abba, Father, help me carry the load that I've got just now. You know it, and I know it. And it seems to me as though this load is not going to move. Maybe for years. Maybe never at all. Some of us have been given burdens that we will carry for the rest of our lives. And we've got to say, Abba, Father, you know, give me that grace. We learned that last week. Remember, Paul said three times he prayed to take away that thorn in the flesh. And God came back with the same answer every time. My grace is sufficient for you. And if that wasn't enough, he says, my grace is sufficient because my power is seen in your weakness. I want you to see me as weak, because when you are weak, then you will be seen as strong and you'll do great things for me. We don't want to be weak. Who wants to be weak? No. Strong, mighty. Nothing my God can do. That'll be next week. But that's what we want. And he said, no, it's in your weakness sometimes. And what we do is we do this all in faith. Because I want to leave you this verse, and it's a great verse. And it's an encouraging verse because it says, he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Whatever God is asking us to do, whatever God is asking us to carry, whatever God is taking us, that's his promise. He who began a good work in you will carry it on and he'll complete the task. So we've not got to worry. We've just got to get that faith.